How can we approach our responsibilities in life with wisdom and a healthy mindset? Hey guys, this is Cherie at Bible Project. In this episode, we open the book of Ecclesiastes for a healthy dose of realism. I'm used to reading this book as a real downer, but today's message really encouraged me. I think it will encourage you too, so stay tuned and listen in.
Hey everybody, this is Tim Mackey at Bible Project. And if you are reading through the Old Testament and you come to the books of Solomon, you notice that Ecclesiastes stands out among the rest. It's a contrast to the optimism of Proverbs that offers security and well-being for everybody who honors God. Ecclesiastes is really different than the rosy-eyed view of love and sexual desire that's explored in the Song of Songs. Ecclesiastes strikes a note of just real somber, cold, hard realism. It's like a big wet blanket tossed onto your life. And that's for a good reason. The main speaker in the book is called Kohelet in Hebrew, and it means the convener or the one who gathers people. And Kohelet's goal is not to tell you that life has no meaning or purpose. Rather, he's critiquing a naive religious optimism that overpromises and underdelivers. Kohelet is targeting interpretations of biblical faith that claim that blessing and abundance and peace will always follow those who honor God. Now, that might happen for you, Kohelet says, but you can't count on it. If your life turns out to be really hard and you struggle at every turn, it doesn't mean that God isn't reliable or that he has it out for you. What it does mean is that we live in a world that's been ruined by human evil, and that's confusing and compromised by the inevitability of our death. And so as we live as exiles from Eden, we live in a land of dirt and sweat, or under the sun, as Kohelet often puts it. And so if we have unrealistic expectations about life on this side of the day when God sets all things right, that's our problem, not God's. And so Kohelet is like that friend who you don't like to hang out with all the time, but sometimes you really do need their perspective because it pushes you to think outside yourself and bigger than your own life story. And so a great example of this kind of sober realism is Kohelet's view of work and labor. He says many times that most of our waking hours are spent on frivolous things that won't last beyond our lifetime. He makes it clear that all of our labor will be forgotten by the vast majority of humans who come after us. And so you might think that his final advice would be to pack up, you know, retire early, and move somewhere tropical. Well, that's my interpretation. But that's actually not what Kohelet says. Nearly half a dozen times, he will say things like this at the end of chapter 5. Everyone comes naked out of the womb, and naked they will depart. They take nothing from their toil that they can carry in their hands, and this is a terrible evil. So, here's what I think is good, that a person should eat and drink and find some satisfaction in their toilsome labor under the sun during the few days of life that God has given them. Now, did you follow his logic right there? He says, since you are certainly going to die and you can't take anything of value with you, what should you do? Enjoy the simple good things of life, like food and drink and friends and your work. Kohelet doesn't think that death or the unpredictability of life means that life has no meaning. He's saying what it should do is make us adjust our expectations, because if we don't, we're setting ourselves up for a fall. There are real goods to be enjoyed in life, but what they require is being present in the moment to enjoy a good meal or a good relationship. And if I spend my time stressing out about the meaning of my life or why things aren't going better for me, I'm going to miss out on the little gifts that everyday life has to offer me. And so Kohelet condenses this theme into a short riddle in chapter 4, verses 5 and 6. He says this, "Fools fold their hands and ruin themselves. Better is one handful with rest than two fistfuls of toil and chasing the wind. It's a four-line poem that's about three kinds of hands that symbolize three ways to approach your work in life. So the first hand is the fool's, and the Hebrew word here is the word yad. It refers to your hand and including your forearm up to your elbow. And so folding your yad, it's an image of crossing your arms and laying down and taking a nap. And so that's one approach to life's challenges. Just check out. Just stop trying. But here's the thing, is that humans tend to shrivel up when they don't have a meaningful story to be a part of. It's like our hearts and our minds atrophy, and that usually doesn't end well for anybody. But on the extreme opposite end of the folded arms are the two fistfuls with toil. So this is an image of tight fists trying to grab onto the wind. It's a very powerful image of futility, but also of the anxiety and of the stress that we all feel when we try to control our life's outcomes. There are just too many people and too many X factors that we have no control over, and it'll really shorten your lifespan if you spend your whole life being stressed out. So what's the way forward? Kohelet offers actually a very simple image. He calls it one handful with rest. The word handful here is the Hebrew word kaf, and it refers to your open palm. So think of holding one hand up and open to the sky. That's the image. Notice the contrast here with the other two hands. Unlike the napper, who withdraws and folds his hands, and unlike the two-fisted grabber, this person has one hand in the game, working, but it's an open hand. This is a very powerful image of a balanced and healthy approach to my life's work before God. So this open hand, it's an admission that I can't control most of the things in my life. But the fact that my hand is outstretched means that I'm in the game. I'm trying to be responsible and productive with the opportunities that God has given me. And so it's precisely in this admission of powerlessness that we actually discover real agency in the world. I can give my best to my work, but I can also spare myself the heartbreak when my work doesn't fulfill all of my dreams. And I can become open to enjoying now all of the small gifts that come my way in day-to-day life. Kohelet isn't offering a counsel of despair, but of realism, and ultimately, I think, of wisdom. So Ecclesiastes has a real important function in the Bible for followers of Jesus. Even if we do believe that the resurrection of Jesus was the birth of the new creation right here in the middle of ours, and even if we do hope in the day when God will make all things right, we still have to wait for that day. And as we do that, we live in a world that is both good and beautiful, but also compromised and full of disappointment and death. And so as we wait, Kohelet's wisdom can help us discover a handful of rest as we labor in the unknown. So may God give us wisdom this week as we have hope and trust in his wisdom as we go about our life and our work.
Ecclesiastes 4:4-12. And I saw that all toil and all achievement spring from one person's envy of another. This too is meaningless, a chasing after the wind. Fools fold their hands and ruin themselves. Better one handful with tranquility than two handfuls with toil and chasing after the wind. Again, I saw something meaningless under the sun. There was a man all alone. He had neither son nor brother. There was no end to his toil, yet his eyes were not content with his wealth. For whom am I toiling, he asked, and why am I depriving myself of enjoyment? This too is meaningless, a miserable business. Two are better than one, because they have a good return for their labor. If either of them falls down, one can help the other up. But pity the one who falls and has no one to help them up. Also, if two lie down together, they will keep warm. But how can one keep warm alone? Though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves, and a cord of three strands is not quickly broken. Ecclesiastes 4, 4 through 12.
All right, now let's review. The book of Ecclesiastes helps us adjust our expectations and shows us how we can live in this messed up world. So, what are our options? Well, we could try to escape the mess, fold our arms, and sleep our way through life, but that would just make it worse. Or we could clench our fists, work overtime, and try to control every aspect of life, but that wouldn't amount to much. Our third option of living in this broken world is better. The book of Ecclesiastes says it looks like working with open-handed trust and rest. Let's reflect more on this. I have three things for you to consider today. Listen closely and just press pause if you need more time. Here's our first reflection. Everyone can relate to the tendency to escape life or control it. Which approach do you relate to most? Here's our next reflection. What specific area of your life are you inclined to escape or control right now? Here's our last reflection. What would it practically look like for you to engage that area of your life with open-handed trust? What's one small step you can take today? Thanks for joining in on today's reflection. Before we go, let's pray together. Jesus, the nail scars in your open hands tell us you are trustworthy. Help us to trust and partner with you instead of trying to control or escape our lives. Help us to hold your hand when life is cool and when life is a mess. Through it all, help us to rest in you. Amen. If you want to reflect more with open-handed rest, we have even more questions for personal study or group discussion at our website, bibleproject.com/study. Today's message was by Dr. Tim Mackey. Our show production was by Dan Gummel. Our scripture reading by Michelle Jones. Our theme music by Grant William Harold. And I'm Sheree Hayes, your host. Reflections is more than a podcast. It's a community of friends from all around the world who are reflecting on the Bible all throughout the week. Friends like Talia and Keely.
Hey, this is Talia.
And this is Keely.
And we are twins from Sydney, Australia.
Yeah.
And we love the Reflections podcast. We listen to it every week.
Yes, it's so practical and personal, and we love how it helps you to meditate on the scriptures.
We love it. Thank you so much for all you do.
Bye. Bye.
Ladies, that totally made my day. Thank you. Bible Project is a crowdfunded nonprofit. We make educational resources to show how the Bible is one story that leads to Jesus. Thank you.